Brethren, this morning, I have a few things to discuss with us. And then, after the just a word of encouragement, I believe that we'll take some actions as God will help us today in Jesus' name. We have been hearing about commitment. We have prayed it in prayer this morning, and we've been praying it since the beginning of this month, that this is our month of commitment. And so this morning, I just want to share with us what I believe God has laid on my heart about commitment. Couldn't get another title for it. I tried different permutations and combinations, but I came up with this simple one that says, get committed and stay committed. Tell somebody, get committed and stay committed. Get committed and stay committed. Brethren, it's so easy for people to talk about love. I love you, you know, head and neck and toe and tail and whatever. It's so easy for people to say, I love you, or I love this thing, or I love that thing. But a higher level of decision is to be committed to that thing that we love. A higher level of decision is to be committed to who we say that we love. That's the higher level of commitment. And that's what we are going to talk about this morning. It's so easy for us to sing it and to say it, that I love God, that we love God. Individually to say we love God, as a church to say we love God. But a higher level of decision that God expects from us is to make a decision to be committed to that love. And a decision to be committed to it will be backed up by actions. I pray that that action that God expects from us, that he will give us the grace to do it in Jesus' name. It's so common to find, you know, boys and girls, boyfriend, girlfriend, they will say they love each other. They'll be going out. But the day that the girl says, it's been how many years now? It's been how many months? Let's tie the knot. Then that's the day that the boy will say, it's not to that level now. We are not staying to that level. You know, it's so common. Because the decision to be committed to that law is a higher one. It's one that comes with a greater responsibility. To say I love may not be with a lot of responsibilities. But by the time you are committed to it, then responsibilities are laid on you to begin to do something. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. He did not just say, I love the world. The Bible says that he gave, because there is an action that shows the commitment to the love that he loves us. To the love, he loves us so much that he's committed to it. And he showed his commitment by giving his dear son to us to die for our sins. This week, the week that ended yesterday was Valentine, you know, and I was watching on the TV. I don't know how many of us know about this old red bridge in Kansas City, where lovers will go and tie. You know, it's in so many other places in the world, but there's one here in Kansas City. You can look it up on Google. It's called Old Red Bridge, you know, where lovers will go, and it's been on for a couple of years, and they said from the news that they have like 3,500 padlocks there already tied to that bridge. Lovers will go there and they padlock their love. They padlock it to the railing of that bridge, you know. And then traditionally, you know, because I think it started in China or so. Traditionally, they were supposed to throw the key to that padlock inside the river so that they would not be able to locate it again. But you know what? Because things don't happen again like that. You know, these days, now the one we have in particular in Kansas, they have a box beside the, so that people can drop their keys there. I don't know whether they are just for the purpose of coming back to pick it up, because it doesn't last long any longer. It doesn't last long. You know, some elderly man came, I think he's been married 34 years or thereabout. He came there this week to visit that place. Not because that bridge has been there for that long, but I think after a couple of years that they were married, they decided to come and tie it. You see, the people of this world, they can do that to show the level of commitment. That not only do I have that love in my heart, I want to padlock the commitment. I want to padlock it. And they bring out the padlock and they lock it. Unfortunately, they have the antidote for it. Just on the other hand, that they can easily come back there and open it up. But the kind of commitment God is asking from us is the one that you do, you make that commitment, and you throw the key into the river. The one that Jesus Christ did, that even when he got to the cross, you know, it was difficult. The agony was much. The decision to die became real. It became real. The agony of death, you know, became real to him. The decision to leave the glory above became real to him. And then he said, I wish that this cup could pass over me. That's how much painful it was, what our Lord suffered for us. But the Bible says that he said, but nevertheless, not my will. Because he did not bring the key to unlock it. He did not bring the key to unlock that commitment. He did not even think of unlocking it at all. The key was not with him. That is the kind of love that God has for us. That's the kind of commitment that God has for you and I. That regardless of what, God is committed to us. But are we committed to him like that? Don't we have the key? Some of us come to, you know, we come to places of service. We come to church. We come to meetings with the key on the other hand. So that in case, you know, I can quickly open it and get out. I can quickly open that padlock of my commitment and get out. Some of us come, we came to the knowledge of the truth with the key. We say we are born again, but we still have the key with us. So that in case, you know, then we open that key and we get out of the way. That's not what God is expecting from us. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, I believe. Revelation 3, 15. The Bible talks about the Laodicean church. Can we have the Bible says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I will wish that you were cold or hot. 16, can we have 16? So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Brethren, that is lack of commitment. Not to be cold, not to be hot. Not committed to being cold, not committed to being hot. And then that's the reward of not being committed. It's not going to stand for anything. Nobody wants to take it all. It's going to fall. And that's why God said he will spew that kind of person out of his mouth. Because he cannot place the person. He cannot place it. The devil can afford to take it home, but God is not going to take home a Christian, a believer, who is not committed. Somebody who says that I do, but they can easily say I do not. God does not want that kind of individual. I believe that we don't want such individuals as spouses who say they do. This week there was something in the news. I don't know how many of us, you know, come across some of these things. I think in the morning they said they will not do again. They have said they will do, like 2 years ago. Some celebrity or so. I don't know how many of us had it. A couple, a celebrity. About 2 years ago, I think they said they did. They will do. But in the morning of one of the days of this week, they said they will not do again. And I think before the end of the day, they said they will do again. You know, and it was in the news. That is a make and break and make and break. A temporary arrangement. That's not the kind of thing, that's not the kind of commitment that God is expecting from us. That's not the kind of commitment that God is going to reward. God, because God sees our heart. God knows we are seated here, but God knows who is indeed committed. Who is indeed committed. And because our reward comes from commitment. It does not come from what we say by the word of mouth. It does not come from the way we look. It comes from what is in the depth of our heart. The Bible says that, you know, all things are naked before him with whom we have to do. I want us to take a cue from the lives of the, you know, of the apostles of Jesus Christ, 12 of them. You know, in the book of Hebrews, we can read about the apostles and, you know, some of those other early disciples of God, how in the face of trials, in the face of difficulties, how they did not deny God. How they did not unlock the padlock of their commitment. You know, I was reading the account of how most of them died. They said, only John the Beloved died peacefully. Others were, you know, some were, Peter was crucified, you know, upside down. They wanted to crucify him like they did Jesus Christ. And he said, no, he will not be crucified like that. He appealed to them, to the Romans, to crucify him upside down so that he would not die like Jesus Christ died. He didn't want to compare himself with Jesus. That was how Peter died. You know, so many others like that. They were crucified. One of them, I think one of them was stabbed from behind. That was how they died. But in the face of that, I think maybe that was Andrew. One of them was actually tied to the cross rather than nailed to the cross. You know, and the history says that he was there for 2 days dying. But while he was dying, in 2 days, he was preaching to passers-by. He was preaching as he was dying, as life was being drained out of him in 2 days, being tied to the cross, he was preaching. He was preaching. Brethren, this morning, I want to remind us that we are going to the same heaven like these people. I want to remind us that we don't have any room to explain things away. We don't have any room to explain things away, because this we have a better dispensation. We have a dispensation where the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, is with us. We are in a dispensation where we are so much empowered and enabled, and we have so much resources. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that these people, they died, they saw the promises afar off. The promises that you and I are benefiting from today. Some of them saw, they just perceived. They just saw that something is going to happen one day. That a son of man is going to walk here one day. Miracles will begin to happen one day. That the Holy Spirit will come one day. People will be speaking in tongues one day. Some of them had those things, they did not see, they did not partake of it, but they believed it. And they died for what they believed because of their commitment. But you and I are here today, we are seeing those things. We are touching those things. We are actually partakers of those things, that we know that this is God. But how much more should we be committed? How much more should we be committed? I want to quickly, you know, just say a few things about one of the disciples of God. I mean, of Jesus Christ, and Peter in particular. We all know how Peter started, because sometimes, you know, we can start this journey as Christians, but we may not be as committed as we should be at the beginning. So we are not alone, because it happened to the disciples like that as well. It took them some time. And that's why, you know, we are not under any condemnation, that we are still not at the level that God expects of us. Because the disciples too passed through, they went through the process, but they did not stay in the process. They grew along the way. They grew in the process. We remember how Peter, that Jesus met him fishing, and he called him out of it. We remember that spectacular encounter where he was fishing, they toiled all night. For the sake of time, I don't want to go through a lot of these things. You know, how he was fishing, and they failed many times. The Bible says they toiled till night. They did not catch anything until Jesus stepped in and he said they should launch into the deep, and they caught net breaking, boat sinking, you know, catch of fish. That was a spectacular encounter that was supposed to initiate the love for Christ and begin to, you know, to begin to start a level of commitment. And then they started following Jesus Christ. But along the way, there are so many other encounters where he said that he loved Jesus Christ. Ah, he was the first to say, "Ah, I love you." Jesus Christ said, "Ah, before the cock crow, you will deny me 3 times." He said, "Ah, it's not going to happen because I love you. It's not going to happen." But you and I know that it eventually happened, because he was still going through, even though he loved, not that he did not love Jesus Christ, not that he did not love God, but he was still not as committed as he should be. He was still holding on. He still knew the way. He still knew where he kept the key to be able to go back. This is the same Peter. These are the same disciples. When the Bible says so many other disciples, they left, they went away. They said, they told Jesus Christ, "Where should we go? You have the word of eternal life. We have left all and followed you. We are not going away." But you know that they went away. Because the Bible says, maybe we should read that place quickly. You know, because this morning I just want us to realize that we can say that we love him, but he expects us to show it by action. He expects a level of commitment from us that I believe most of us are still in the process of. Let's go to the book of John chapter 21. John chapter 21, maybe verse 15. Yeah.
I think before that place, can we see the beginning of that scripture, John 21 from verse 1?
Okay, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. This was after Jesus died and he resurrected. Let's go to verse 2, verse 3. Okay, now Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. The same thing that happened at the beginning is happening again. You know, after all the things that they saw walking with Jesus Christ, they still went back. Brethren, that is because they have not burnt the bridge. That is because they still knew the way, the road to where the key of commitment, of that padlock to tie their commitments was kept. The Bible says they still went back fishing. That's when what happened in that same scripture in verse 15 now happened. The Bible says Jesus Christ now came and showed himself to them, and then he began to ask him, do you love me more than this? Do you love me? He kept asking him, do you love me more than this? Because he was not talking about a love by word of mouth. He was talking about a love by action. A love when Jesus was there, when he was not there. That is the kind of love Jesus was asking. That was the level of commitment he was asking him. He said, Peter, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than the fact that I can help you to catch fish? Do you love me more than the fact that you can follow me and we can all clap and celebrate when things happen, when miracle signs and wonders happen? Do you love me more than that? Are you committed to the very purpose that I'm committed to? Are you committed to the very thing that I died for? That is the question he was asking. Are you really committed to it? Or do you just love, you know, where things are happening? You know, like we have a lot of Christians these days. Oh, it's not happening there. Ah, things are not happening there. And they move. Do you love me more than that? Do you love me and love the purpose for which I died, for which I came? Do you love me for that purpose? That was the question. And that's the question I'm asking us today. Do we love because of the purpose for which he died? Because he saved us? Because he came, he died for us? Do we love God because of that? Because if not for that, because we would have been doomed, do we love him for that purpose? That is the question Jesus asked me. That's the question I'm asking us today. We are talking about commitment. It also happens, you know, even outside the church, in the midst of friends, in families, you know, spouses. Are we committed to one another? Are we committed? Are we just saying it by word of mouth? Are we showing it? Are we taking positive steps towards it? Are we making, you know, committed actions to solidify the love that we say we love? We love each other in the family, you know, amidst friends. Do we really show commitment to that love that we talk about? And I pray that this morning, that wherever it is that commitment is lacking, in homes, in the church, in associations, that the Almighty God will restore commitment to us in Jesus' name. It said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 24, the Bible says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You and I know that there are brothers, there are friends who are really, really like brothers, and they are more than brothers. The Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than brothers. You know, a lot of us, maybe almost all of us, you know, came from Africa, from one country or the other. And some of us have had stories of how, you know, they used to send money to their brothers, to their, you know, people. And then for them to do something, to build a house for them, buy a land for them, you know, buy this and that. And a brother is the person who will not buy it. A brother, there was one story lately of somebody who now went to Nigeria. And because they saw that, he finally came. Maybe they have done everything so that he will not land. His plane will not land. Or maybe he will miss his flight. He did not miss the flight. Oh, maybe the plane will not land. The plane landed. Because the plane now finally landed, then they turned his head around and he ran mad. So that they will not get there to validate that there was nothing on ground. That he was just sending his money. So that's how even a brother can do. But the Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Whether it's a brother, whether it's a friend, whoever it is that needs to be committed to you, I pray this morning that the Almighty God will send that person to you in Jesus' name. Because we need committed people. We need committed people. As God needs committed people for his work, we also need people who are committed to, you know, to your next level. You need someone who is committed to what God wants to make of you. You need somebody like that. It may be your spouse. It may be your child. It may be your brother. It may be, you know, a friend. But whoever it is, like I said, that will be committed to getting you there, to getting you to where God is taking you. I pray that heaven will release that person today in Jesus' name. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. May God give us in Jesus' name. Sometimes we may have been committed to a purpose, may have been committed to somebody, and maybe we did not get a reciprocal commitment from them. It happens. It happens in families, you know, between spouses. It happens among friends. You know, let us not be discouraged. Let that not affect your commitment, even still, you know, in relationships. Let that not affect your commitment to God. Because it happens. God has, you know, God has seen a lot of people that he called, and they were not committed to that purpose. His people, I mean, look at Judas. The same person that was there and supping with Jesus Christ was not committed to him. But Rapport talked about Demas. That Demas forsook him. He loved the present world. So you are not alone that you have experienced a lack of commitment from somebody, from a friend, from a brother, from a spouse. But my prayer this morning is that the Almighty God will comfort you in Jesus' name. Because it can be very challenging. Especially when you have planted so much of your commitment into him. You have fed that relationship with so much of your commitment. And then you are let down. It can be very, very disappointing. But this morning, the Almighty God will lift you up in Jesus' name. The Almighty God will be a commitment to you. The Almighty God will bring your way someone who will nurture that place where you are wounded in Jesus' name. This morning, before we run out of time, I don't know if I still have, I think I have a little time to still say one more thing before we move on to what I believe God. Okay. Can we turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. That scripture has been read to us So many times this year, God called Abraham out of the midst of his people and he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great and you shall be a blessing. And verse 3, I will bless thee, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Brethren, before Abraham could get this kind of pronouncement out of the mouth of God, Abraham showed commitment. Before God could go to this level to say, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed, Abraham showed commitment. And so if we want to key into it, we have prayed it so many times. We have prophesied it. We have decreed it. We have declared it. But brethren, more than that, we can continue to pray and pray and pray about certain things, but until we take an action, until we do that thing that God expects us to do, it will just remain as prayers. It will just remain as wishful thinking. Because when God called Abraham, Abraham did not stay in that place to continue to wish that he will live. To continue to wish that one day God will bless him. He took action, he stepped out. And that was when God now pronounced this blessing upon him. And so this morning I want to ask you, what is it that you are committed to? Like the theme, the title says, get committed and stay committed. Until you nurture that thing, until you take action about it. I was listening to
one of the Olympians, you know, this Winter Olympics going on, that was one of the snowboarders who won a gold medal for the United States, one lady. And they were asking her, oh, what do you like? Ah, she said, oh, she likes ice cream. She likes ice cream, vanilla ice cream, blah, 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 and all that. You know, that was what she likes. But she couldn't have been committed to ice cream to get the gold. She can like ice cream. In fact, she was really craving for it. She wanted it around that time before she went, you know, for the contest. She wanted the ice cream, but she could not have been committed to that ice cream like she was committed to the gold, like she was committed to snowboarding. So I want you this morning to look inwards. What is that thing that you are committed? What is that thing that you need to be committed to? What is the vision that God has committed to your hands? Even as an individual, we are going to talk about the church. As a person, what is that idea? Until you are committed to it, it's not going to grow. The gold is not going to come. If that lady has been committed to ice cream, then the ice cream company will be flourishing. She is not going to get that goal. But she was committed to practicing the thing that she needed to primarily commit to. What is it? Student, what is it that you need to commit to? What is it that you, business person, what do you need to commit to? Are you feeding, are you giving it the right attention? Are you giving it? Are you doing it the same way that you did it last year? We are talking about greatness. Greatness will come by our commitment to it. I want to encourage you today, be committed to it. I want to encourage you today to nurture that, to stay there. Get committed to it and stay committed to it. There will be resistance. There will be pressures. There will be things that want to distract you from it. Stay committed. Stay committed. Get committed and stay there. Only in doing that can we be great indeed. And as a church this morning, God has given us a purpose, a mandate for this year, to go out into the community to capture this community. Brethren, I don't know if you listen to the news. I keep talking about news because we need to know what's going on around us. What story do you hear about Grandview? What stories do you hear about Grandview? And that's where we are. That's where we are. That's why God is going to ask us, what did we do in that community? Don't think that we, it's birds that can pass poo somewhere and something will grow. This church did not grow by bird passing poo on the ground. It grew because God decided it. And God is going to ask you and I. You did not just walk inside to this place because, there was a detour somewhere. And then this is the only way you can. No. There must be a reason why God brought you here. And God is going to ask us. There is going to be a report card that is going to be delivered to you and I. And what will be the content of it. That's why this morning I have a burden in my heart. And I want to share it with you. That we have prayed. We will continue to pray, but we need to act from now. We need to begin to act. If we say that we want to be great as a church, we want to be great as a people, we must back it up by action. The people of this world, the Bible says they are wise in their own conceits. They go and lock their commitment over the bridge that, that one truck can just demolish one day. We need to show our own commitment to the mandate that God has given to us by doing something today. And that's why I'm challenging you, whatever it is that God is laying in your heart, to begin to do for the community where we are, so that this community will begin to feel your presence, will feel our presence, will feel the presence of God here with us. We need to begin to do it. God is going to give you an idea. God is going to give me an idea of what we need to begin to do as a church. Some couple of weeks ago, we went out and we were dropping food in front of people's doors over there. We did not leave the place until some people started pulling in the bags of food because they needed it. Because they don't think that it's all okay there. Of course, the news confirms that it's not all okay in Grandview. It's not all okay around us. And that's why we need that God will use us so that all will be okay in Grandview. God is going to reward you for that. And this morning, I want you to key into it. There's something that our Father in the Lord, PC, has been telling us, and I believe that this is the right time, for me to discuss it with us, And that is about, how many of us know that there is a radio station here? How? We don't know, you see. Just a few of us, maybe one out of 400 or maybe, know that we have a radio station here just beside us. We have prayed this morning that we want our voice to be heard in this community. I believe it can start from there. I believe it can start from there. That we can begin to broadcast. Some of us turn to K-Love, on our, you know, and we have testimonies. I've had a lot of wonderful testimonies. People will call and say, ah, thank God for that program. Ah, I listened to that program. I was lifted. I was encouraged, you know, all those things. Because some people are committed to K-Love, are committed to those programs. And that's how souls, when Jesus said that he will tell some people that when I was hungry, you fed me. Brethren, those are the kind of things. That when you key into things like that, in getting Wisdom Assembly to begin to run a program on that radio station there, maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, and someone's life is touched where they are seated, you don't know, you may not even know, here or not, is when we get there, your report card will show somebody's name. You show that, what's the name of this guy that went killing, you know, this cruiser or something. That's, the guy was sitting somewhere, he was about to go and shoot, and he just heard the message. Because you were committed to it. Because you were committed to that program on the radio. And they heard that program, they listened to that program, their lives changed. It's not every time that, you know, you can go out and preach and you know, and evangelize. But you can key into it. You can sponsor it. You can pay into it. And God is going to keep it in your own account in Jesus' name. And so what is that very thing that I want to encourage us to do? You know, and my wife, we have decided as a family to be part of it. Because we have heard it so many times. Not even this year. Not last year. Now, PC has told us that this church is going to go on the radio. And we want it to begin to happen by the grace of God, latest by March, so that our voice will be heard in that place for a week. I mean, for a slot of program, 15 minutes is $70, and I believe that's something that somebody can do here. That the family can say, "Oh, for 1 week we are going to be doing it," so that 1 week, you know how it makes you feel. 1 week, that 15 minutes, you know that you are evangelizing, even though you are not the one talking. You know that you are part of it. You are part of evangelizing this community by that program. You are part of doing what God has planted us to do in this community. Just by sowing towards it. So I want to encourage you this morning to be part of it. To be part of it, $70, I believe there's somebody here who can do that. And that will be for a slot for 1 week. $70, or maybe you want to do more than that. I don't want to say people should, you know, raise up their hands. I just want you to agree with God. I want you to agree with God. It's not too much. We will leave here today. Some of us are going to land in McDonald's and going to get something nice. You know, for those of us who are not fasting. I know it's not all of us that are fasting. So those of us who are not fasting, we are already thinking of, I'm going to land where I'm going to land now. You know, let them just finish. So, and we spend more than that. Why can't we spend it for a soul? For a soul. For a soul. We don't know what I told. I think I have a little more time. I told the workers something, you know, sometimes a story sometimes ago. And that keeps encouraging me. Where, you know, I read a tract, and I read that story in the tract of a man who used to stand beside the road somewhere, and he used to give out tracts. used to give out tracts. And he did that for a couple of years. He thought he wasn't getting any result. Oh, people are not thanking me. People are not appreciating me. People are not stopping by and saying, hey, how are you doing? You know how they used to say, hey. So he was discouraged and he left. 10 years after, this is something that really happened. 10 years after, this man was passing by the same place and he saw another man standing there giving out tracts. In that same place where he used to stand, giving out tracts to people. And he was surprised. So he went and met the man and said, where did you get the inspiration from? And he said, there was a man who used to be here 10 years ago. He gave me a tract, and that tract was why I gave my life to Christ. And I saw that he's not been here. He's not been coming. So I decided to come and replace him. I pray that God will not replace us in Jesus' name. Brethren, let us not take all the time to think about it. Let us make up our minds and do it. Let us make up our minds and do it. Let us make up, we can approach our Father in the Lord anytime he comes back and say, I want to be, you can send him an email, send him a text message, you know, maybe right now and say, I want to be part of it. My family wants to be part of it. Like I said, $70 is 50. And you may not, if you cannot do up to that, just say, we want to be paying some. And say, it is Wisdom Assembly on radio. It's the radio ministry. You know, so that when it is being broadcast, you will know that, hey, thank God, I'm part of this. That's the kind of feeling. The Bible says that how beautiful are the feet of those that spread the gospel. That's the way it makes us feel. That wherever we are now going, we'll be feeling good. That this land, we are taking it over. We are paying into it. We are praying into it. And God will make it happen in Jesus' name.